This recording is a service of the Allen County Public Library's audio reading service. It is specifically designed for and directed to people who have visual, physical, learning, or language challenges to reading traditional printed materials.
Welcome to Cook's Corner. We all could use a little help in the kitchen, so pick up some useful tips, tricks, and hints, as well as some tasty recipes from leading cooking magazines that will make your next meal a huge success. All on Cook's Corner, coming up next on your audio reading service.
Welcome, this is Cook's Corner, and I'm your reader, Robert, with the audio reading service at the Allen County Public Library in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Today I'll be reading from Food and Wine, and now I'll begin with Food and Wine, copyright 2025, Meredith Operations Corporation, the June 2025 issue. Pineapple coleslaw. Active preparation is 10 minutes and total is 1 hour 25 minutes and serves 10. Canned pineapple enhances this classic barbecue side with a sweet and tangy flavor. The slight bitterness of crunchy shredded cabbage is balanced by the acidity of apple cider vinegar and the sweetness of pineapple syrup. Sprinkling the cabbage with salt draws out excess moisture so the leaves will stay perfectly crisp. Shopping list: green cabbage, kosher salt, apple cider vinegar, mayonnaise, granulated sugar, sliced pineapple in heavy syrup, carrots. Once again, one small head of green cabbage, shredded. That makes about 8 cups. 2 tablespoons kosher salt, plus more to taste. 1.5 cups apple cider vinegar. 2/3 cups mayonnaise. 2 tablespoons granulated sugar. 1 20-ounce can sliced pineapple in heavy syrup, drained, reserving 1.5 tablespoons of the syrup. And 1.5 cups matchstick carrots. Step 1. Place cabbage and salt in a large bowl and toss to combine. Let mixture stand at room temperature until cabbage releases liquid, about 15 minutes. Rinse cabbage thoroughly under cold running water. Drain cabbage well and pat dry using paper towels. Step 2. Stir together apple cider vinegar, mayonnaise, sugar, and reserved pineapple syrup in a large bowl until dressing is well combined. Step 3. Cut pineapple into bite-sized chunks. Add pineapple, cabbage, and carrots to dressing in bowl. Toss until vegetables are well coated. Cover and refrigerate until flavors meld, about 1 hour. Season with additional salt to taste and serve. And Brian Furman wrote this recipe. Make ahead. Store in an airtight container in the refrigerator for up to 3 days. Burgers Beyond Beef. Buffalo Chicken Burgers. Active preparation 45 minutes, total preparation 55 minutes, and serves 4. This tangy, sweet, and spicy flavor of classic buffalo chicken wings come together in these succulent chicken burgers. The blue cheese studded celery slaw is very thick when first stirred together, but as it chills, it loosens to a creamy consistency. Once again, Buffalo Chicken Burgers. Here's your shopping list: celery stalks, sour cream, blue cheese, fresh parsley, kosher salt, black pepper, red onion or sweet onion, ground chicken, panko, garlic powder, Frank's Red Hot Buffalo Wings hot sauce, canola oil, brioche hamburger buns, carrot sticks and celery sticks for serving, and that's optional. Once again, 3 large celery stalks trimmed and very thinly sliced on an angle, about 1 3/4 cups. 1/4 cup sour cream, 2.5 ounces blue cheese crumbled, about 1/2 cup, and then divided. 5 tablespoons chopped fresh parsley, divided. 1 1/2 teaspoon kosher salt, divided. 1 3/4 teaspoon black pepper, divided. 1 small red onion or sweet onion. 1 1/2 pounds ground chicken, white and dark meat. And they note, for the juiciest patties, use a mix of ground white and dark chicken meat rather than ground chicken breast. 1/4 cup panko, 1/2 teaspoon garlic powder, 6 tablespoons Frank's Red Hot Buffalo Wings hot sauce, divided, canola oil for greasing, 4 brioche hamburger buns split and toasted, and carrot sticks and celery sticks for serving, and that's optional. Step 1. Stir together celery, sour cream, 1/4 cup blue cheese, 3 tablespoons parsley, 1/2 teaspoon salt, and 1/4 teaspoon pepper in a medium bowl until well combined. Cover and chill until ready to serve. Step 2. Cut onion in half and thinly slice one onion half and reserve slices for topping. Grate the remaining onion half on large holes of a box grater to yield about 1/3 cup. Place grated onion in a double layer of paper towels and squeeze to remove excess liquid. Place onion in a large bowl. Stir in chicken, panko, garlic powder, 3 tablespoons hot sauce, remaining 2 tablespoons parsley, remaining 1 teaspoon salt, and remaining 1/2 teaspoon pepper until just combined. Step 3. Divide chicken mixture into 4 about 7-ounce portions. Shape each portion into a 4.5-inch wide patty, about 3/4-inch thick. Transfer patties to a small baking sheet and chill while preheating grill. Step 4. Preheat grill to medium. That's 350 degrees Fahrenheit to 400 degrees Fahrenheit. Lightly grease top grill grate with oil. Place patties on grates, grill uncovered and undisturbed until patties form a golden brown crust on the bottoms, 5 to 7 minutes. Flip patties, grill, basting with 2 tablespoons hot sauce until a meat thermometer inserted into center of patties registers 160 degrees Fahrenheit, 5 to 7 minutes. Transfer patties to a large plate. Let rest 3 minutes. Internal temperature will rise to 165 degrees Fahrenheit. Step 5. Place one patty on each bottom bun. Top with evenly divided celery mixture, onion slices, and remaining 1/4 cup blue cheese. Drizzle with remaining 1 tablespoon hot sauce and sandwich with top buns. Serve immediately with carrot and celery sticks if desired. Written by Paige Granchon. Make ahead. Uncooked chicken patties can be stored tightly covered in the refrigerator for up to 1 day. From the article Amp Up Your Apps, these crowd-pleasing little bites make entertaining easy. Mixed fruit pico. Total 20 minutes makes about 3 cups. This pico, also known as salsa fresca, straddles the line between sweet and savory. Tomatoes, cilantro, and onion lend savory taste, while tropical fruits bring in sweetness and tang. Champagne or honey mangoes have flesh that is less fibrous than other mango varieties and contribute a velvety texture to the mix. The pico makes a satisfying dip for chips, or you can pair it with grilled fish or chicken. Here's your shopping list for mixed fruit pico. Grape tomatoes, champagne mango, kiwis, fresh pineapple, red onion, fresh cilantro leaves and stems, fresh lime juice, chopped Fresno chili, kosher salt, chili lime seasoning, and chips such as cassava, plantain, or tortilla for serving. Once again, 1 cup chopped grape tomatoes, 3/4 cup chopped peeled champagne mango, 3/4 cup chopped peeled kiwis, about 2 kiwis, 3/4 cup chopped fresh pineapple, 3/4 cup finely chopped red onion, 1/4 cup chopped fresh cilantro leaves and stems, 3 tablespoons fresh lime juice, that's about 2 limes, 2 to 3 tablespoons finely chopped Fresno chili, 3/4 teaspoon kosher salt, 1 teaspoon chili lime seasoning, and chips such as cassava, plantain, or tortilla for serving. And a note says, find tahine chili lime seasoning at most grocery stores. And tahine is spelled T-A-J-I-N. Stir together tomatoes, mangoes, kiwis, pineapple, onion, cilantro, lime juice, chili, and salt in a medium bowl. Toss gently until well combined. Spoon mixture into a serving bowl and sprinkle with chili lime seasoning. Serve pico with cassava, plantain, and or tortilla chips. And Ann Taylor Pittman contributed this recipe. Make ahead. You can prepare the pico ahead, but only stir in the salt and chili lime seasoning just before serving. Doing so beforehand will draw out too much liquid from the fruit and the salsa will become too soupy. Store chopped, unseasoned fruit in an airtight container in the refrigerator for up to 2 days. Hack your mayo, a quick fix flavor booster to amp up your summer cooking. Scott Clark writes, "Back when I was learning to cook, I kept failing at risotto. One night, the head chef grabbed my pan and hammered it with more butter than I ever imagined the dish could handle. 'Dude,' he said, 'the rice is just a vehicle to put flavorful fat in your mouth.'" That made sense. You never drink a cup of olive oil or eat a stick of plain butter, but if you emulsify the fat, then whether it's blended or dipped in, drizzled or slathered on, you've got the move that makes the dish. At Dad's Luncheonette, my restaurant in Half Moon Bay, California, we make sandwiches. So our emulsified fat is mayonnaise. We want our mayo to be lick the spoon good. So we make it from scratch, streaming in an oil that's infused with umami-rich shiitakes, bonito flakes, and garlic. It's my version of Kewpie, which I love for its sweet, savory taste and silky mouthfeel. After that, we might mix in kimchi, wasabi, fish sauce, you name it. All these preparations are in my new book, Coastal, 130 Recipes from a California Road Trip, which is filled with from-scratch cooking. But as a single dad, I need quicker options sometimes. When you have a clear head and 30 extra minutes to make the best mayo ever, pick up my book and go for it. Don't have the time for a stick blender? Grab some Kewpie. Fire flavorings into it and feed your crowd. Easy. It's summer. Let's relax. Kimchi mayo, total 5 minutes, makes 1 1/3 cups. Stir it into a rich and slightly sweet Kewpie mayo base. Fresh sliced scallions and chopped kimchi come together to create a sippy condiment for sandwiches and more. The thick creamy sauce gets additional umami from gochujang, fermented chili and bean paste, and an extra smoky kick of heat from Korean chili powder. Here's your shopping list for kimchi mayo. 1 tablespoon gochujang, 2 teaspoons sesame oil, 1 teaspoon gochugaru, that's Korean chili powder, 1 teaspoon honey, 1 cup Kewpie mayonnaise, 1/4 cup gently hand-squeezed kimchi, chopped, 1 large scallion, thinly sliced, about 1/4 cup, and 2 teaspoons roasted sesame. Whisk together gochujang, sesame oil, gochugaru, and honey in a medium bowl. Whisk in mayonnaise and fold in the kimchi and scallion and transfer to a serving dish. Top evenly with sesame seeds. And that's by Scott Clark. Make ahead. Store kimchi mayo in an airtight container without the sesame seeds in the refrigerator for up to 4 days. Sprinkle mayo with sesame seeds before serving. PB&J Blondies with Raspberry Swirl, from an article featuring recipes that have jam in them. Active 20 minutes, total 1 hour 30 minutes, and makes 16 bars. Creamy peanut butter is swirled together with tangy raspberry jam in these chewy blondies that evoke the flavors of a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Chopped, roasted peanuts amp up the nuttiness while adding a slightly salty crunch throughout. For clean slices, let the blondies cool completely before cutting into bars. Do you prefer strawberry jam in your PB&J? Feel free to swap in any homemade or store-bought fruit jam to make this nostalgic treat your own. Once again, PB&J Blondies with Raspberry Swirl. Shopping list: cooking spray, unsalted butter, packed light brown sugar, creamy peanut butter, a large egg, all-purpose flour, baking powder, kosher salt, store-bought or homemade raspberry jam, and salted roasted peanuts, chopped. Once again, cooking spray, 1/2 cup unsalted butter, 1 cup packed light brown sugar, 3/4 cup creamy peanut butter divided, 1 large egg, 1 cup all-purpose flour, about 4 1/4 ounces, 1/2 teaspoon baking powder, 1/2 teaspoon kosher salt, 1/4 cup store-bought or homemade raspberry jam, and 1/3 cup salted roasted peanuts, chopped. Step 1. Preheat the oven to 350 degrees Fahrenheit and lightly coat an 8-inch square baking pan with cooking spray, and then line with parchment paper. Step 2. Heat butter in a large saucepan over medium until just melted, 2 to 3 minutes. Remove from heat and whisk in brown sugar and 1/2 cup peanut butter. Let cool 10 minutes. Whisk in the egg until well combined. Fold in the flour, baking powder, and salt until just incorporated. Transfer the batter to prepared pan and spread into an even layer. Step 3. Place remaining 1/4 cup peanut butter in a small microwavable bowl. Microwave on high until slightly melted but not liquidy. That's 10 to 15 seconds. Drop small spoonfuls of peanut butter evenly over the top of the batter. And drop small spoonfuls of raspberry jam evenly over batter, avoiding peanut butter dollops. Scatter chopped peanuts between peanut butter and jam dollops. Pull a wooden skewer or butter knife through the dollops of peanut butter and jam to create a swirled pattern. Step 4, bake until blondies are golden brown and puffed around the edges and center is set, but still slightly wobbly, 26 to 30 minutes. Let cool completely in a baking pan about 45 minutes and then cut the blondies into bars and remove from the pan. And April McGregor provided this recipe. Make ahead. Blondies can be stored in an airtight container at room temperature for up to 4 days. Next, I'll be reading from Mug Meals, copyright 2015 by Dinah Cheney. Meatloaf. This dish is so delicious, and if you serve it on a plate, no one will know it was prepared in the microwave. Carefully place a plate over the top of the mug and flip it over and lift the mug and you will yield a molded meatloaf. You can even slice it for sandwiches. So we have a mug microwave meatloaf. Here is your shopping list. 1 cup, about 6 ounces, of already cooked ground beef. 1/4 cup whole wheat breadcrumbs. 3 tablespoons ketchup, 1 tablespoon finely chopped fresh flat leaf parsley leaves, 1 tablespoon finely grated carrots, 2 teaspoons finely chopped red onions, 1 teaspoon Dijon mustard, 1 teaspoon low-sodium soy sauce, 1/2 teaspoon dried thyme, 1/8 teaspoon kosher salt, and a few grinds of black pepper. Step 1. In a small bowl, stir together all of the ingredients and pour into a 16-ounce mug. Pack down. Step 2. Cover and microwave until hot, about 2 minutes. Our next mug meal is cornbread stuffing with black beans. Feel free to top this colorful entree with a dollop of sour cream. If you're out of cornbread, try country bread, but cut off the crust. Match the salsa to your preferred level of heat. Very spicy or mild. Here's your shopping list for cornbread stuffing with black beans. Non-stick cooking spray. 1 cup, 1-inch cubes of cornbread, or as stated, country bread. 1/2 cup canned black beans, rinsed and drained. 1/2 cup salsa. 1/4 cup shredded cheddar or Mexican cheese blend. And 2 heaping tablespoons of thinly sliced trimmed scallions. Step 1. Spray the inside of a 16-ounce mug with cooking spray. Step 2. In a small bowl, gently mix all of the ingredients and pour into the mug and pack down. Step 3. Cover and microwave until hot, about 2 minutes. Next, I'll be reading from The Way Kitchens Work, copyright 2010, by Ed Sobey. This is about the ground fault circuit interrupter switch, or you might recognize it as an outlet in the wall that is a GFCI, ground fault circuit interrupter outlet. The history of the GFCI switch or outlet. Charles F. Dalziel invented the GFCI, which he called the miniature differential circuit breaker, in 1965. Dalziel was a professor of electrical engineering at the University of California, Berkeley, whose research was on the effects of electricity on people and animals. His invention was designed to prevent electrical shock by shutting off power if a short circuit occurred. When he was unable to interest investors in the device, he reputedly demonstrated its utility by tossing electric toaster into a bathtub where his 8-year-old daughter was sitting. It can be a tough life being the child of an inventor. How GFCI switches or outlets work. In the kitchen, GFCI switches are most often found as part of electrical outlets adjacent to sinks. A GFCI switch shuts off the flow of electricity in cases in which current may have left its proper path and started flowing through you instead. This can happen when a misused or faulty appliance puts you in contact with an electrically charged wire and you complete a circuit between that wire and a ground. For example, if you are turning on the sink and you reach for a toaster that's malfunctioning, electricity could flow from the toaster through you to the cold water pipe. The pipe acts as a ground and you could be shocked. Appliance manufacturers fear this scenario and design their wares so it won't happen. But it can, and infrequently, it does. But as the electricity rushes to the ground, the GFCI outlet senses the sudden change in current and shuts off the circuit, protecting you from potentially serious injury or even death. Inside the GFCI is a device called a differential current transformer, which compares the current flowing into the plugged-in device with the current flowing back out of it. If the flows are different, current must be leaking from the device into a ground, possibly through a person using the device. If there is an imbalance of as little as 5 milliamps, the GFCI interrupts the circuit within a few milliseconds. The Electric Safety Foundation International says that GFCIs have saved hundreds of lives and prevented thousands of injuries in the United States over the last 30 years. An integrated circuit on the circuit board detects any imbalance between the magnetic fields of the two coils in the GFCI and triggers a solenoid. The solenoid can also be triggered by depressing the test button, which pushes down on the silver toggle and trips the circuit. The reset button, on the other hand, depresses a switch in the center through the round opening, which restores power after the circuit has been tripped. Some industry experts estimate that as many as 200 electrocutions a year could be prevented if everyone used GFCI switches when operating electric appliances near cold water pipes. Well, that's all the time we have for today. This has been Robert with Cook's Corner. I hope you've enjoyed today's reading from the audio reading service at the Allen County Public Library.